Our scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Samuel. And you'll notice the title of the sermon is The Anointing of Saul, Part 2. This passage that we are in the midst of, last week was Part 1, is very lengthy. And I'm dividing it up into three parts. And this will be the second part. And we will have the third part next week. But we're going to begin with the second half of it. I'm going to read actually through the end of the third part because I will make reference to it in this week's sermon. So let us begin reading at 1 Samuel 9, beginning at verse 17. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family?" Saul answered, "But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside." So the cook took up the leg with what it was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you on this occasion from the time that I said, 'I have invited guests.'" And Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Get ready, and I will send you on your way." When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here a while, so I may give you a message from God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil, and he poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader of his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb of Zilzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He's asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets?" A man who lived there answered, "And who is their father?" So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for the donkeys," he said. "But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul replied, "He assured us that the donkeys had been found, but he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship." Thus the reading of God's word this morning. You can see when you have two names such as Samuel and Saul, once in a while you get them turned around. I'll try to keep them straight here this morning as we go through our text. As you come to the end of 1 Samuel chapter 9, we come to a feast that takes place in the high place. It is actually a sacrificial meal. And as I've focused on that passage for this morning's sermon, I have to admit I have struggled with what to do with this sacrificial meal concerning what is its meaning. As I came to prayer meeting here yesterday and I met with the men that were gathered to pray, I really still was not sure what to do with this sacrificial meal. I have three commentators at home, or commentaries, and all three of them describe this meal in a different way. One of the commentators tells us that the purpose of this meal, where Samuel reserves this leg of the lamb for Saul and has invited guests with Saul at the head of the table, the purpose of this meal is that Saul is taking on the characteristics of a priest. Go with me for a moment to the book of Leviticus chapter 7. In Leviticus chapter 7, we read instructions for the offerings of Israel. And in Leviticus 7, beginning at verse 32, the Lord instructs the people this way. "You are to give the right thigh of your fellowship offerings to the priest as a contribution. The son of Aaron who offers the blood and the fat of the fellowship offering shall have the right thigh as his share. From the fellowship offerings of the Israelites, I have taken the breast that is waved and the thigh that is presented and have given them to Aaron the priest and his sons as their regular share from the Israelites." So the leg or the thigh of the lamb, we're told in the book of the law, was designated for the priest. And in this meal, where Samuel and Saul are together, Samuel sets aside this leg of the lamb and he gives it to Saul at the head of the table, and Saul eats what should normally be Samuel's. Thus, this commentator concludes that Saul is taking on the characteristic of a priest. Now, I was leaning this way as I came to prayer meeting, and as I shared that insight, there was someone there who disagreed. And after considering his arguments for disagreeing, once again examining the situation, I came to realize that he had a very good point. Because later on in our story, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul is punished because he offers a sacrifice that only Samuel was to make. In 1 Samuel 13, the Philistine army is attacking Israel. They are on their doorstep. Saul's people and his army are terrified of that Philistine army. They could attack at any minute. And Samuel has instructed Saul that he is to wait for him to arrive so that Samuel the high priest can make the offering to the Lord. When Saul sees his army fearful, he realizes he needs to attack soon. Samuel does not come, and so Saul makes the offering himself. Samuel tells Saul, "You acted foolishly," verse 13. "You have not kept the command of the Lord your God that he gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." You see, Saul is punished because he does what a priest should only do. So it would seem to us that what is happening here with Saul is not that he is taking on the characteristics of a priest, although there seems to be some elements of that there. Well, what was interesting at this prayer meeting, the person that objected to that particular view went on to describe the exact view of one of the other commentators. And that was that the meaning of this meal is not that Saul is taking on the characteristics of a priest, but the only thing that this meal has to tell us is that Saul is honored as the future king of Israel. That he receives the leg of a lamb because the king should receive the leg of the lamb. That Saul, as seated at the head of the table, is being honored by the other guests as the future king of Israel, and Samuel is letting them know. But if that were the case, why then is it so secret, later in the story, when Samuel anoints Saul? In fact, if Saul is being honored and specifically pointed out as the future king of Israel, why does not Samuel then anoint Saul right there? Why is it that after the meal they have to go home and Samuel has Saul stay at his house and sleep on his roof? And the next morning, as Saul is about to leave the town, Samuel tells Saul to send his servant ahead. And then Samuel will anoint Saul in private, where no one can see, and declare him king of Israel. It would seem that in this sacrificial meal, the guests do not even know why Saul is being honored. And so it would not seem that the purpose of this sacrificial meal is simply to honor Saul as king where he is being proclaimed as king. And so as I left prayer meeting, I decided that perhaps I should maybe take the third view of my commentators, which is, we don't know what to do with this feast taking place here. In fact, there's one who takes the position that let's just move on and go to something else. Well, I didn't want to do that, because any time that you see a lamb in Scripture, that's significant. Any time that there is a feast in Scripture, that is significant. And so there must be some meaning here that the Lord wants us to see and understand from this particular meal that takes place at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 9. And so, after going back to my books and looking at the structure of the entire passage, suddenly the meaning came into focus. If you look at your outlines this morning, you will see the structure of this particular text. Notice that our story begins and ends in the same place. Our story at the beginning of chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, begins with Saul at home. His father has lost his donkeys, and his father sends Saul on his way. At the end of our story, in chapter 10, verses 12 through 16, Saul is again at home. He has returned from his journey, the donkeys have been found, and he has a conversation with his uncle. So the story clearly begins in one place, and it ends in the same place. Then in the middle, we have a journey. And along the way, Saul meets three people that directs him to that sacrificial meal. On the other side of that sacrificial meal, after it takes place, Saul meets three people that gives him a new direction for his life and where he is to go. Saul is out looking for donkeys. The donkey is the royal animal. Kings rode on donkeys. When Solomon came into Jerusalem, and David wanted the Israelites to know that Solomon, his son, was to succeed him, Solomon rode on a donkey. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he rides on a donkey. As Saul sets out on his journey, he is searching for donkeys. Donkeys symbolizing royalty. At the end of the story, Saul returns home, and the donkeys have been found, and royalty has been found. Well, who directs him? As Saul leaves home and he's looking for the donkeys, he's ready to give up. He can't find them. And along comes his servant, who tells him in verse 6, "Look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let us go there now. Perhaps he will tell us where to go." So his servant directs him to the man of God. When they arrive at the town, they still do not know where the man of God is, and they meet some girls who are coming out to get some water. And in verses 11 through 13, the girls tell him about the seer, about Samuel, and where he will be, for the feast is being taking place at the high place in that town. So the servant directs Saul, the girls direct Saul, and finally they run into Samuel, and it's Samuel in verse 19 who finally brings Saul to the high place where the feast will take place. After the feast takes place, Saul has a different journey. Remember, as our story starts out, Saul's father is looking for his donkeys. And he says to Saul in verse 3, "Take one of the servants with you and go look for the donkeys." The Hebrew words that are used are arise and go. After the feast takes place, Saul is sleeping on the roof of Samuel's house. When morning comes, in verse 26, Samuel uses the same words to Saul, the same Hebrew words. Arise and go. Get ready, my Bible translates it, and I will send you on your way. As he leaves the journey, as he's going to the sacrificial meal, his father has sent him out. After the meal takes place, Samuel is sending him out. And thus, as Saul returns from this meal, there are others directing him, Samuel and the Lord. He goes along and he meets in verse 2, two men who tell him about his father's donkeys being found. He goes further, Samuel will tell him, and he'll meet three men on their way to Bethel, and they will give him two loaves of bread. He goes further on his journey, and he meets a group of prophets that have returned from the high place, and Saul, too, begins to prophesy with them. And finally, Saul returns home. You see, the structure of our text points us to the center of this sacrificial meal. We call this, in the Hebrew language, a type of a chiasm which is building up to the top of a mountain, and it comes down on the other side. And as Saul journeys and is directed to that sacrificial meal to the top of the mountain, he returns back home, being directed by Samuel and by God. This mountain is building all the way till, well, there is a peak at the top. And the peak at the top is the sacrificial meal that takes place. And from this structure, what we come to realize is the sacrificial meal is the most important thing that takes place in this whole passage. Now that's a long way from coming home and wanting to move on and not being able to understand it. God has a very important meaning for this sacrificial meal. It is the most important thing that takes place in this whole passage. Something significant happens in this meal, and you see that in the change of Saul. For he goes from being a man who's out looking for his donkeys, looking for royalty, and he cannot find them, following his father's instructions, to being a man who's following Samuel's instructions. And when he returns, he's found royalty, for he will be the king. Well, what then is going on in this meal? Remember where we are in the book of Samuel and in Israelite history. We are at a key transition point that is taking place. The judges' era has been disaster for the kingdom of Israel. They don't have a leader. They don't have a king. They fall into sin time after time, and God sends them a judge to deliver them and to rescue them, and then they fall back into their sin. Samuel is the one who will bring about change. But once again, as we read in chapter 8, his sons are not walking in the ways of the Lord, and the Israelites now want a king. They are tired of the judges. They want to have a king like all the other nations have a king. And so God tells Samuel to give them a king. And the Lord will give them a king and demonstrate this change in leadership that takes place as Samuel and Saul dine together in the sacrificial meal. Notice how our text builds up to this meal. When Saul and his servant meet the servant girls, they direct him to Samuel. And they tell him in verse 12 that Samuel is ahead of you. Hurry now, he has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. Well, is this just any sacrifice? Is this just something Samuel did on a regular basis? Is it just happened to be that Saul comes into the town on this particular day, and it just happens to be they have a sacrifice, so they know where Samuel is? Well, as you read on in the girls' directions, you find that there's something else going on here. For as they are directed to the high place to eat, the girls tell him, the people will not begin eating until Samuel comes, because he must bless the sacrifice, and afterward those who are invited will eat. This isn't just any meal which just happens to be regularly scheduled. This is a meal where there are special invited guests. Samuel has invited these guests, and they cannot eat of this sacrifice until Samuel arrives as head of this meal and as head of what is taking place. He is the high priest. As the story goes on, we find out from Samuel later in verse 19 that Samuel is the one who has planned this all along. God has revealed to him that Saul is going to come to the town on this very day. And when Saul approaches Samuel in verse 19, Samuel identifies himself and says, I am the seer. Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. You see, Samuel knows that there's something significant to the fact that he is going to dine with the future king of Israel. They are going to eat together. This is not just a meal which is planned like anyone before. Samuel has planned this meal and has invited these particular guests so that he will dine with Saul. This meal is for Saul, this meal is for the future king of Israel. And Samuel and Saul are going to eat together in this place. As Samuel goes on in verse 19, he tells Saul that in the morning I will let you go and will then tell you what is all in your heart. And as for the donkeys, verse 20, you lost 3 days ago. Do not worry about them, for they have been found. Royalty has been found. As the donkeys are found, so has Saul, the king of Israel, been found. And so Samuel leads Saul up to the room. And while they are in the room, verse 22, Samuel brings him there and his servant, and he seats them at the head of all of those who are invited, about 30 in number. Samuel seats Saul as the honored guest at this meal. Samuel places Saul in the honored place. And in verse 23, Samuel says to the cook, "Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside." So the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you on this occasion from the time that I said, I have invited guests." This leg of the lamb Samuel has set aside specifically for Saul. This leg of the lamb that we know from the book of Leviticus was supposed to be for Samuel himself. For not only is Samuel the high priest of Israel, but Samuel is the leader of Israel, the judge of Israel. But now what was supposed to be for Samuel as leader of Israel is given to Saul, the next leader of Israel. You see, this meal signifies the passing of the torch. This is the picture we have of the change of leadership that God is going to bring about and that will take place. This is the beginning of the monarchy. The first king of Israel is Saul, and Samuel, as high priest and leader of Israel, is going to pass the torch to the next king of Israel. Now notice that our text doesn't tell us that Saul is taking Samuel's place as high priest. For when Saul is seated, he is seated as the honored guest of all those who've been invited. He doesn't take Samuel's seat. He takes the honored guest, the seat of those who are invited, and he is honored. Samuel has invited these guests. And the last thing we read in verse 24 is this, that Saul dined with Samuel on that day. We have the picture here of the next king of Israel and the high priest of Israel dining together on that day. Together they are dining as the leadership torch is passed. Together they are to serve the high priest and the king as the future leaders of Israel. Two offices that God has given. And later when Saul forgets his place and Saul tries to be the priest, God has to remind him that that's not his place. That's not what God called him to do. You see, there is only one man who will be high priest and king. In this meal, we see how the two are to function together. In this meal, which is the point of our mountain, which points to how God will bestow his grace, both in his mercy and the forgiveness of sins as the high priest, both in how he will rule and guide his people in the power of the king. Both of those will now take place in Israel to lead them and guide them as God is present among them. But in 1 Samuel 9, it is two men who will do this, two separate offices, a high priest and a king. And when the king forgets and he tries to become the high priest, he is punished and he loses his kingdom because he tries to do what only God's Son is meant to do. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be high priest and king. The picture we see of Samuel and Saul dining together with the change of leadership is the picture we see in heaven, not of two men, but of Christ. For the Lord has come. God's Son, Jesus Christ, has come. And he has been the one true high priest. He has been the one true king. He brings together these two offices as the one man God has called to do that and to fulfill those offices. And as we learned later, Saul thought a lot of himself. Saul thought of himself as, look, I'm king of Israel. I'm now the honored guest. I can eat the leg of the lamb that Samuel has given me. So why can't I be high priest too? He thought he deserved it. He thought just by who he was, it was his. But the office of high priest was not something that Saul could take upon himself. The office of high priest is an office that is earned. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, our catechism tells us in question and answer 25, how does Christ execute the office of priest? Christ executes the office of priest in his once suffering up for himself, a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. You see, Christ became high priest because he offered to give himself. Saul thought he deserved it. Jesus came and gave himself up for his people and earned it in his death on the cross. Saul was king. Jesus is king. The Catechism tells us that Christ executes the office of king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. The coming together of the priest and the king is the picture of our Savior in his ruling and in his grace and in his power. You see, God has given us a much better king and a much better priest than Samuel and Saul. God has given us in Jesus Christ an eternal king and an eternal priest. Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for sinners. Jesus Christ, who has been risen from the grave, is our only true priest. And our true priest continues to be in heaven, just as we see in this passage. They are in the high place. They are dining together. This is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is in heaven as our high priest, who we can pray to and know his grace is bestowed on us. We have Jesus Christ, who is our king, who rules all this creation, who rules each aspect of our lives, who is seated on his throne that no one can remove him from. And he continues to rule in our lives each and every day. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, as we look at this meal that takes place, we see a meal that takes place in heaven every day. We see the aspects of our Savior present there as they are present for us. We see how we can go to him as our priest and know that he forgives us. We see how in times of trouble we can go to him and know that he hears our prayers and that his grace is sufficient for us. We see how he is in control of our lives as he has fulfilled this office as only he can. We see how he is in control of this world and all that happens in it, because Christ alone is King and Lord and Savior. And so God is calling us to this high priest and king. God is calling us this morning to see beyond Saul and Samuel. He's calling us to see the great priest and king that he has sent us in Jesus Christ. He's calling us to recognize his power and his grace, and to believe on him, and to live for him forever. Amen. Father in heaven, as we see in 1 Samuel this morning, we see the power of your grace as it's bestowed upon us through our Savior. We see our true high priest, our true king, who is in heaven, whom we can know controls our lives and directs our lives, who is gracious and merciful to us, who forgives our sins, who we can turn to in our times of need, and he gives us hope. We pray that we would recognize in this story the great change of leadership that you brought forth in the sending of your son. That as Saul and Samuel together give us the picture of the change of leadership in Israel, we see how Christ becomes the fulfillment of all leadership of all time. How he is seated there forever. How he will always be present there for us. How no matter what comes our way, we can know that he is in charge and his grace is sufficient. And may we be drawn to him forevermore as he draws us through the power of his Spirit. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.